Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. Dear listeners, Radio Sai continues its weekly presentation of the talking book version of Mr. Howard Moffat's highly acclaimed book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. The author was among the very early Westerners who came to Satya Sai Baba as a skeptic in 1964, and drawn by his enigma, he stayed for considerable periods of time near him in the next 6 years. During this period, he conducted extensive research and probing investigations into the Sai phenomena. He published his findings as the book that has become a classic of Sai literature, often considered the primer which introduced Sri Satya Sai Baba to millions round the world. This book was first published in 1971. Since then, it has been instrumental in drawing millions of seekers to the loving path of Satya Sai. These readings, dear listeners, are being aired every week, and if you wish to revisit a chapter at any time, you can do so at our website radiosai.org. So dear listeners, welcome now to Sai Baba, Man of Miracles by Howard Moffat.
Sai Ram, and welcome to this talking book session of excerpts from Mr. Howard Moffat's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. We are happy to continue the reading of the second half of Chapter 15, entitled, The Same But Different. In the first half of this chapter, we heard how hardcore scientists grappled to make sense of the Sai phenomena. When a scientist has repeated experiences over a number of years, a phenomena outside the laws and theories of modern science, what should he or she do? Turn one's back on it? Make scornful, self-protective noises? Or admit that science has merely gathered a few pebbles and shells beside the vast, unexplored ocean of the unknown? So far in this chapter, we heard how Dr. Banerjee has, along with some of the greatest of his scientific brethren, taken the second course. He is now a devoted follower of Sai Baba and loses no opportunity of traveling, often on his motor scooter, to Puttaparthi. Let us now meet Dr. Y.J. Rao, head of the Geology Department, Osmania University, Hyderabad.
Dr. Y.J. Rao was an appropriate person to witness the transmutation of solid rock to another substance, with a valuable spiritual lesson thrown in for good measure. One day, at Puttaparthi, Baba picked up a rough piece of broken granite and, handing it to Dr. Rao, asked him what it contained. The geologist mentioned a few of the minerals in the rock. Baba: I don't mean those, something deeper. Dr. Rao: Well, molecules, atoms, electrons, protons. Baba: No, deeper still. Dr. Rao: I don't know, Swami. Baba took the lump of granite from the geologist and, holding up with his fingers, blew on it. It was never out of Dr. Rao's sight. Yet, when Baba gave it back to him, its shape had completely changed. Instead of being an irregular chunk, it was a statue of Lord Krishna playing his flute. The geologist noted also a difference in color and a slight change in the structure of the substance. Baba: You see, beyond your molecules and atoms, God is in the rock, and God is sweetness and joy. Break off the foot and taste it. Dr. Rao found no difficulty in breaking off the granite foot of the little statue. Putting it in his mouth as directed, he found that it was sugar candy. The whole of the idol created instantly out of the piece of granite was now made of candy. From this, Dr. Rao learned, he said, something beyond words and far beyond modern science. In fact, beyond the limits of the rational mind of men today. He is a great enough scientist and man to realize that science gives but the first word. The last word is known only to the great spiritual scientist.
In the course of his investigation and study of Satya Sai Baba's nature, the author, Mr. Howard Murfitt, interviewed credible witnesses from a variety of backgrounds of science, spirituality, and even royalty.
The Raja of Venkatagiri is a prince of the old school. He was educated in England, mixed in international social circles, hunted big game, and played polo. He has a palace at Venkatagiri in his old royal state and another in the city of Madras. He is a largely built man with a princely demeanor and the manners and speech of an English gentleman. Yet, in religious matters, he has the reputation of being a very orthodox Hindu, and his wife, the Rani, is still in Parda. I have met the Raja at several Sai Baba gatherings, and he has called at our residence in Adyar to tell me of his strange and wonderful Sai experiences. I believe his reason for doing this was to orientate me correctly, as he saw it, towards the miracles. Through the years, he and members of his family have experienced many of these. Here are some examples. The Raja's second son was one of a party of men driving by car from Madras to Puttaparthi on one occasion. Not far from Chittoor in Andhra Pradesh, they stopped to have a picnic by the roadside. After they had eaten the main course, Baba asked what fruit they would like for a dessert. They proved to be a very difficult party. One asked for a mango, another for an apple, a third for an orange, and the fourth for a juicy pear. "You'll find them all on that tree over there," Baba said, pointing to a wild tree growing nearby. Full of excitement, because they had learned that anything was possible with Baba, they went. Sure enough, on one branch of that wild tree hung the fruits they had named, a mango, an apple, an orange, and a pear. They plucked them and declared that the flavors were of rare excellence. Once at Puttaparthi, before the hospital was established, a visitor was suffering from acute appendicitis. There was no surgeon for many miles. One of the Raja's sons was among the dozen people present when Baba waved his hand, materialized a surgical knife, and went into the room where the patient was groaning. No one was actually in the room to see Baba perform the operation, but he showed them the removed appendix and the incision which had already healed to a small scar. As usual, he had used vibhuti and the divine power it represents as both anesthetic and instant healer of the surgical wounds. The Raja has himself seen a good many of the divine miracles. One that impressed him very much took place at Venkatagiri in 1950, not long after he had met Sai Baba. It was one of the earliest visits of the young 24-year-old Swami to Venkatagiri. A party of between 20 and 30 people left the palace in a fleet of cars for a drive in the country. Baba, who had never been in the area before, asked the Raja to stop by any patch of sand they might happen to see. A few miles further on, they came to a dry, sandy riverbed. Here they stopped and all sat on the sand around the young Swami. After talking for a while, he rolled his sleeve up to his elbow and thrust his arm deep into the sand before him. Then, the Raja told me, we all heard a strange sawing sound. At least, that's what it seemed like. I asked Baba what the sound was, and he replied enigmatically that the goods were being manufactured in Kailash. Kailash, incidentally, is the abode of Shiva, the god associated with yoga, yogic powers, and divine grace bestowed on mortals. Many of the Sai disciples believe that Baba is himself an incarnation of the Shiva Shakti aspect of divinity. As the young godman withdrew his arm from the sand, there was a great flash of blue light that spread to a circle of some 10 feet in radius. Then they all saw that Baba was holding in his hand something about 8 inches in height and made of pure white spatika. It proved to be a statue of Rama, one of the avatars, together with his consort Sita. After everyone had seen this gift from Kailash, Baba handed it to the veiled Rani of Venkatagiri, telling her to wrap it up in silk and leave it thus covered until the following day. When it was unwrapped the day after, the white stone had turned blue. The little statue now stands in the Raja's shrine room, still the color, he says, of the blue light that flashed forth at the moment it was drawn from the sands. The Raja, like so many other Indians, has seen miraculous phenomena produced here and there by ceremonial magic, by the tantric and other occult arts. But, he said emphatically, the Sai Baba miracles are an entirely different level, and the word miracle is really inadequate. It could be misleading to some people. What other word can one use? I asked. I don't know, but you must at least call them divine miracles, he replied. Like other close devotees, the Raja and his family regard Sai Baba as an avatar of divinity.
Next, the author recounts the experience of an eye surgeon whose experiences truly reflect the omnipresence of Swami.
Dr. A. Rangarao, MBBS, MS, FICS, is one of the leading eye surgeons of Madras. For some years, at an early stage in his career, he was serving the community at Bhimavaram as a general medical practitioner and was haunted by the dream of becoming someday a surgeon of renown. He believes that the fulfillment of this dream had its beginnings on a day when he went to attend an old man who was a devotee of Shirdi Sai Baba, one who had seen Shirdi Sai in flesh and blood and had built a temple to him. The doctor was so affected by the saintliness and devotion of that old man that he himself began to pray to Lord Shirdi Sai and became his devotee. From that day, Sai remained in his heart. As the years rolled by, he said, Sai got more and more deep-rooted in me. I walked through life with a smiling face. In 1954, I was asked to join the University of Iowa, USA, for higher studies. By his grace, I qualified for the degrees and returned an A-class surgeon. I began practicing as an eye surgeon at Bhimavaram itself. One day, a woman came to his clinic complaining of dimness of vision. She was suffering from cataract with the complicating factors of rheumatism and iritis. The surgeon told her and her relatives that she was not a fit case for operation. Then she said, I am a devotee of Satya Sai Baba of Puttaparthi. He directed me to come to Bhimavaram, saying, At Bhimavaram there is an eye surgeon who has been my devotee for many years. Go to him and tell him that I want him to operate on you. He will do it, and you will have your sight restored. Baba had gone on to tell her exactly who this devotee was, showing in this telling that he knew details of Dr. Rangarao's past. The doctor was perplexed and amazed. The woman told him that Satya Sai was a reincarnation of Shirdi Sai, and because of Baba's words to her, Rangarao felt faith in the truth of this statement. He performed the operation against his professional judgment. It was successful, and the lady regained her sight immediately. The surgeon wanted to go at once to Puttaparthi, see the deity in real human form, and prostrate before him. Some months later, he had the opportunity to move to Madras and begin practice as an eye surgeon there. Within a few days of taking up residence, he heard that Satya Sai Baba was visiting the city and staying at 3 Surya Rao Road, the Venkatamuni house. He drove there, but felt desperate when he saw the huge crowd. Then a young man, unknown to him, actually it was Ishwara, the eldest son of the house, accosted him. Are you Dr. Rangarao? Baba wants you to come in with your family. He is on the first floor. With beating heart, the doctor climbed the stairs and immediately fell at Baba's feet. The little saffron-robed figure patted him on the back and lifted him up. Doctor, Baba said, I have been with you, and you have been with me for ages. It was I who brought you to Madras. I am with you always. You do not have to worry anymore. It was, the doctor said, a soul-touching experience that made him happy beyond words. From then on, the surgeon had within his clinic many rare experiences. It sometimes seemed as if his hand was being guided when he was performing difficult operations. If the patient was a devotee whom Baba had sent, he, the patient, would sometimes see Baba himself there. One day, as Rangarao was operating, Baba, you have come. I see your face. Your fingers are moving. You are doing the operation yourself. At the same time, the surgeon felt a peculiar phenomenon, as if other fingers were moving within his, doing all the work. It was over in a few minutes. It was a miracle. My ego fled, the doctor said. I knelt down to the doer of all things. I sobbed at heart, for I could not see the Lord's face and garments as clearly as my patient was able to. But later, Dr. Rangarao was able to see as well as feel the presence of the surgeon of surgeons. Let him tell it in his own words. Baba directed another patient, Chagan Lal of Shantikutir, Royapuram, to me for cataract operation. He had fixed the time too, 10:30 a.m. This very patient had been refused operation by many surgeons, including myself. He was a very complicated case. His blood pressure was as high as 200. His heart was very dilated. He was a heavy diabetic. His liver was cirrhotic. He had hernia on both sides, so that any eye surgeon worth his salt would close his clinic and take a holiday if asked to operate on this patient. But he was admitted. Preparations were being made in the theater. I was in my office, nervous, moody, and fearful of the loss of the patient and my reputation. Suddenly, I felt Baba catching my hand and asking me to come up with him to the operating room. I followed him, seeing clearly his saffron robe gliding softly up the stairs before me. I washed and scrubbed my hands in the routine way, put on gown and gloves. The patient was on the table. But his blood pressure went up, his heart was throbbing. He was feeling suffocated. It appeared as though he would die on the table itself. Such fear had never before overpowered me. I felt helpless. I yelled, "Sai Ram, Sai Ram." My associates too joined in the chorus, "Sai Ram, Sai Ram." The patient also repeated, "Sai Ram, Sai Ram." To the astonishment of everyone in the theater and to my own surprise, the white apron I wore became saffron in color. My gloved fingers were no longer mine. Sai, the mighty surgeon, had manifested in me, and he was performing the operation. In a few seconds, it was over. The finishing touches were given by the master's hand, and he left. The surgeon's gown was white again. It was exactly at this time that Baba informed the devotees around him at Prashanthi Nilayam, "Chagan Lal's operation is over."
We hope you enjoyed today's presentation. By now, it appears like there is no end to the tales that tell the infinite glory of Sri Satya Sai. But let's take a break now and savor the manna of divine ambrosia we have tasted so far. We promise you another hearty serving of soul-nourishing experiences in the next session. Till then, all the best and Jai Sai Ram. You have been listening to a presentation of excerpts from Mr. Howard Murfitt's book, Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. This book has been published in 1971 by Frederick Miller Limited in London.